big time celebrity musician pulling out of Connecticut.
Oh.
Paul Simon.
Oh.
There's a parody for you. 50 ways to leave Connecticut. Or 50 reasons to leave Connecticut.
50 reasons.
The legendary songwriter Paul Simon and his wife, singer-songwriter Edie Brickell, have listed their 32-acre New Canaan estate for $13.9 million.
I'll take it. It's a gorgeous house. I have pictures of it.
Yeah, I just went through it myself.
Yeah.
It's not as big as you would think.
Right.
It's really, I think, about the property. Nice house.
Yep.
But I just pictured something massive.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. New Canaan.
It's nice. It's very nice.
I would take it.
Can you look up New Canaan? I remember the last time we did this, it was just full of red dots. I mean, there's so many houses for sale in New Canaan.
Really?
Yeah. You sound surprised.
Like nothing I could afford. I know that.
price represents a 16% drop from the $16.5 million Simon purchased it for in 2002.
Oh.
Earlier this month, another popular music icon, Tommy Mottola, sold his Greenwich estate for $14.9 million. A loss on that one.
Yeah.
I think they were all secretly hoping that the election would go another way and taxes would be cut.
They were hoping.
Simon and Brickell raised their three children there and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. What do we know about New Canaan?
Yeah, the entire town is red.
Yeah.
You're starting to see a little blue dots pop up now on Zillow anyway. That means that they're in pre-foreclosure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yes, drop off the key, Lee.
Yeah, exactly.
This house ain't for me.
Right.
Put the house they had that famous slap fight, him and his wife.
Yeah. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus. So it has a really nice pool, 2,400 square foot guest house, 3-car garage. Seems like not enough garage. Slated roof. And it's one of those brick houses, you know, the facade's brick, but then it was painted white, but then they kind of shaved it down and kind of like sanded it.
Oh, they weathered it,
It looked like it was weathered.
Right. Yeah. So brick house, brick hill. Got you. Makes sense.
Property is overlooking a pond surrounded by meadows and sweeping vistas of the great lawn. It's a 7,025 square feet.
They have a great lawn. They have a lousy lawn.
That would be torture, right, for your kid. You just give him one of those push mowers and say, go out and cut the lawn.
Yeah, go ahead. Make yourself beautiful, Jimmy. Get out there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Go cut the lawn, Dawn.
The old school ones without the motor, just with the cylinder
on
it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Have to bag it yourself.
Yep. Oh, jeez. You learn real fast not to leave that out in the rain.
Nope.
You got to push the rust off it. 6 bedrooms. That doesn't seem like a lot, right? For that many square feet?
See, I'm really bad at the whole square foot thing.
7,000 square feet. That's how big your house is?
I think mine's around 1,200 or something like that.
That sounds low.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. It's all the way. It's like
figure 6 times your house.
Damn.
Shouldn't it have more than 6 bedrooms? Just saying.
Maybe the big bedrooms.
Bedrooms are probably big.
Yeah. How many bathrooms?
The size of the house doesn't look like what they're going for. It looks like they have a ton of property, and it's, I think, to get privacy.
Well, they have a great lawn, for God's sake.
Yeah. 7 bathrooms, 3 half baths, so 10 baths total.
A lot of bathrooms to clean.
A lot of toilets.
Yep. But the good thing is, when someone's in there ruining one, you have others to choose from.
Yeah.
You have to sit and wait for it to, like, you know, subside.
It's 1 hour from New York City.
On a good day.
Yeah.
Traffic, he knows. Yeah.
In post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no other humans.
By helicopter. Is there a helipad?
How many times do you think a car left that driveway and went to Yankee Stadium?
Hmm.
Like a zillion. He's a big Yankee fan.
Yep.
Probably got picked up by somebody, wouldn't he?
Maybe.
Car service,
you don't think he'd drive his own car?
Nah.
Paul Simon
driving. I don't picture him driving at all. Prius. Honest with you. Yeah.
I think he would.
I think he drives.
Now, if anything, I picture him driving like those old English, like early 50s MG open roadsters.
Oh, right.
You know, wearing one of those, you know, those caps.
Yeah.
You know, with the scarf.
And the goggles.
And he's got, no goggles. No. Oh, okay.
That's for Edie. But like the John Lennon sunglasses.
that's for Edie. No, and he's wearing one of those jackets that has like the patches on the elbows.
Yes.
Looking for a collision. It'll be like, it's like August, but yet there's leaves falling.
Right.
And there's one of his songs playing in the background. Yeah.
Right. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Built in 1938.
Oh, nice. Stately. Hope it's renovated since then.
Yeah, you can see, like, the kitchens, the rooms. You would think there'd be a studio, but it looks more like a den with some gear in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe that.
I would picture a full studio with, like, you know, the soundproof and all. You want to jam at 3 o'clock when you can.
If there is that, they didn't show it in the real estate photos.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a surprise. It's right under the garage.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, like you move a statue and like a wall moves.
The Batcave.
Why would they do that?
No, it's for the hell of it, because he can, because he's rich.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
he's
money.
For the hell of it.
Exactly, right. Hey, if I'm rich, I want to have a secret compartment somewhere.
It's like the Batcave from the television series where they tilt back the head.
Right. Exactly.
And then this wall opens and there's two poles. And
exactly.
One's for Paul and one's for Edie.
Right. Well, here's an easy lift chair. It goes, Was that Paul Simon?
I don't know. I think we're about to get information.
He fell down the steps to the Batcave.
That's the sound of me and Phil picking up the phone at the same exact time.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No.
I saw the red light and I was like, oh.
Yeah, me too.
That was his bad signal.
All right, so. Yeah.
Well, moving, huh?
If you want to buy a house in New Canaan, now's a good time.
What the hell's the taxes over there? I can only imagine.
There's, I wonder, does it say that?
Taxes in New Canaan? It's got to be listing. Sick.
Thing.
Probably the price of my house in taxes. Now we're with Paul Simon. Yeah.
Oh, this can't be right.
What?
Oh.
What?
Oh.
What? I'm going to up at.
Oh.
I can't tell. Is that agony or ecstasy?
Taxes.
Yeah.
$209,000.
Oh.
Per year.
Oh. All right. So a year and a half you bought my house.
Yeah. And here's the kicker.
With here's the kicker.
The stuff that Lamont's doing, that property taxes are going to go way up for everyone.
Yep. Yeah. That's why they're leaving. And they have the moving truck heading down street.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking at the rate here. It says it's almost $17 per $1,000 assessed in value for your house. So if you have a $1 million house, it's almost $17,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
So multiply that times 13.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was told to be no math on this job. That's why I took it.
Jesus. $200,000 a year in just property taxes.
Yeah, apparently they want to downsize.
Does he make that much friggin' money? I mean, I know he's got
royalties coming in from everything. He's a songwriter.
Okay, I know all that.
Yeah.
Right? But who's buying his music now? It's not like he has chart toppers. And it's not like people are buying records. They're buying songs, individual songs. And do you make that much off $1.29 on iTunes? Holy friggin' crap.
Couldn't tell you. You're living fat, I know that.
Well, if you can afford $200,000 a year in just property taxes.
No kidding.
And it doesn't even say if that's his only home. That's his New Canaan home.
Yeah, that's true. I have a home in Malibu. You never know.
Why'd you pick Malibu?
Everybody goes to Malibu. Was it the White House and the cliffs of Malibu and you see the sandy beaches and whatnot? Yeah. Everybody, you have to, otherwise you haven't arrived. In my opinion.
Do you know what Paul Simon song this is?
I couldn't tell you. Doesn't sound fun.
Graceland?
I rest my case. The Mississippi
Delta was shining like a national guitar. He won a million awards for that album.
I think who cares? Probably one of those posthumous awards, you know? Like all the good stuff he didn't win an award for, I think it was this one.
Right.
This is a good song.
Yeah.
A little Spanish guitar thing going on. That's him actually on his mouth line. When Edie drives him crazy. Oh, yeah, it's love. Yeah. She's this young, beautiful lady with this hit band, you know, Edie Brickell, New Bohemians, and all of a sudden she moves in and marries Paul Simon at this gorgeous home you never hear from ever again. Except for that one time when they had a slap fight.
Yeah, but, you know, she had that one hit, right?
Yeah.
And then this happens to a lot of artists. It takes them their entire career to write their first album.
Yeah.
And then it's a hit. And the record label says, all right, do that again. Right. And they have like a year to write, record, produce,
right,
and put out another 13 songs.
Right.
And it's usually crap.
Apparently, she's still working on one album with Paul. It's probably been like 20-some-odd years.
This guy could write a freaking song, though.
Yes, he can.
Fred in Stanford. Fred.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are corporate owned, and the corporations are leaving Connecticut, and that's why there's a glut of homes down in that area.
Oh, so what, like a company out of New York will own a house and they'll say, oh yeah, we want you to be an executive and you can live here in our...
That's exactly right, 100%.
Gotcha. Right.
Very common, and I've been into some houses that, you know, we had to go back and look at something, and, you know, 20,000 square foot house would have two rooms furnished, and I said to the builder, why have they been living here this long and there's no furniture in here? So the corporations own them, they put their executives in there, and then when they move them out, they move another executive in, and that's the MO.
Right. Interesting.
I have a skateboard go through the holes.
I have board parked inside the house, bowling alleys, you know.
Right.
Yeah, what's the weirdest thing you saw in the house? Not weirdest, but like something you saw that struck you.
A lot of indoor pools, you know, just you name it. The kitchens, you know, high-end kitchens, beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, a bowling alley in your house is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bowling night every night.
Movie theaters?
So say goodbye to your tax dollars when they all start selling those big homes and the corporations are leaving.
Yeah, well, they'll have to get that money out of someone.
Right.
And,
that'll be us.
Hi.
The working guy.
Yep.
All right, brother. I don't want to get too depressed.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's almost Friday. Let me just see what's here. Chaz and AJ.
Hi. Chaz and AJ. My name is a realtor in Georgia. I have like 18 years I'm listening to you guys, first time I'm calling.
Well, welcome.
I was listening about that. You talk about a Paul Simon house. I walked in there like 6 years ago, and you asked about the studio.
Yeah.
And his house, he had like a 6 barn in his house, and the studio, he had a house, a small house in the property.
Yeah, there's a guest house. Yeah, you're talking about Simon's house in New Canaan. You've been inside?
I've been in the guest house. That's his studio.
Oh.
I worked there for a few weeks.
Okay. Did he know you were there?
Yeah, I saw him twice when I was working over there, but I saw his wife almost every single day because every single day she's walking around the property.
Nice.
Right.
And why were you there at Paul Simon's house?
I was working there. He was doing a renovation in his guest house in the studio.
Wait, you were doing what?
He was renovating the guest house in the studio, and then I was over there painting the house.
You're renovating.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Oh. Well, and, what kind of stuff do you do?
I'm a painter.
Painter.
There
you go. See? Right. Nice coat of paint.
That's nice. So his studio gear is in the guest house.
In the guest house, his whole guest house is his studio, and he has a room full with guitars.
Wow.
Just a room just for the guitars. Right. I went into the room to open the window and say, oh my God.
Really?
Six string heavy.
And it was funny that the first day he came, came a limo and the guy, the suit, everything. And after that, he came in the like an old style bike. Riding the bike with like a crocodile shoes.
He was on an old style bike with crocodile shoes.
Shoes, yeah. And they say, "Oh, that's Paul Simon."
That is awesome. That's kind of how you expect Paul Simon to arrive in Connecticut.
That's his version of Crocs, yeah.
And after that, I saw him like he went to like a couple more times to check out about his stuff, the sites and stuff about how things going. And but his wife, every single day, she's walking, stop by, say, "Oh, nice job, everything," and keeping walking.
Oh, that's nice. So she was pleasant to work with.
Yeah. And they have a guy over there to work, like, cleaning up the landscape in the landscape company, because it's so small, the property. I think 38 acres or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 32 or whatever.
Yeah, pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah. And they have a landscape company, and the guy walk over there every single day just for take care of the landscape.
Right, so they drop this guy off there and say, "All right, here, go ahead." Yeah. He's there every day doing something.
Well, so he's done your lawn. Don't cut the lawn, you cut it over again. 38 acres.
Right. Once you get to the end, you start at the beginning again.
Son of a...
they have the gate for this gatehouse where is the studio.
Right.
And then when we walk over there, and every single day, they have to lock the gate so we get in, and then when we leave, we have to lock the gate.
Oh.
Everything, yeah.
Very private.
That's where you won't get out.
All right, well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, guys. That was my first call, but I'm listening to you guys since I came to the United States. 18 years ago.
Oh, well,
thanks so much, man.
Thank you and welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Nice to finally talk to you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I tried to call a lot of times about so much stuff, like accidents, all this stuff that happens to me, but never say, okay, next time I call, and then today I was listening about this the whole time, saying, I'm driving there, press the phone, and then make the phone call.
All right.
And you made this time. That's the important thing.
Right. Clearly, you had his coffee already.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Thanks so much, man.
What's your first name?
My first name is Wilson.
A Wilson?
Wilson. But everybody call me Junior.
Junior?
Junior. Okay, I like all Junior. Right. That's easier.
All right. Thank you, Junior.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Thank you so much. Nice guy. Close, Julio.
Paul Simon selling his Connecticut home.
Yep.
Josh and Shelton.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hello.
Yeah, the house is quite old. I haven't been there in about 5-6 years at least, probably a little bit more than that.
Oh, but you've done work there too? Were there as a guest?
Yeah.
Or?
No, as a plumber, we replaced a whole bunch of fixtures, toilets, pedestals, and we did some of his first half of the kitchen remodel. He did about 8 years.
The first half?
Yeah, it's a beautiful estate, but the house itself is one of those houses that, like you said, it was built in the 30s, and half of it's all old horsehair insulation.
Ow.
Plaster, metal sheathing. Like, I mean, it has a lot of beauty inside, but it's just one of those for the price where you got a lot of old stuff that you're still going to have to replace later down the line.
Just buy it,
gut it, and redo it.
Exactly. I never actually met Paul. I met Edie twice during the project, and she was an absolute sweetheart. Always brought out lemonade when she was there. Like the previous caller said, she would always walk the estate with the dogs. It was, I mean, you would never tell that she had met her randomly off the street.
Dang it. All right, your phone's cutting in and out, but thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
No problem, fellas. Hey, have a good day.
You too. Thanks, Josh.
I want to know how much that room with guitars would be worth.
Just that one room.
Right.
With the guitars in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably some really famous guitars that could be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
That we've heard on these songs.
Yeah. I've heard, like, knock one over and they all knock the other. Each one goes ding, 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 bong, bong, ding, ding, bong, bong. Ding, like a bad guitar solo. Right.
Get me in the witness protection program. I'm out of here.
One string goes, ding. She loves me.
I wonder if when he broke up with Garfunkel, if Garfunkel was, "You're not going to do anything without me. You're going to be nothing. I'm the talent in this."
Yeah.
You know Garfunkel. Yeah, those two did not age well at all.
No, every time Garfunkel turned on the radio, I'm a consummated man. son of a...
He started yelling in a high-pitched voice.
Paul Simon selling his new Canaan home.
Yep. Or old Canaan home.
Yeah.
1930s.
All right. Mm. Try to convince someone now to buy a $13 million old house in Connecticut.
Right.
A $200,000 a year tax bill.
Ugh.
Just on the property.
Yeah, good luck.
32 acres to take care of as well.
Right.
That's maybe a big check. You got to have some bread.
Maybe talk to 50 Cent about that.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Yep. Good idea. Like a decade to sell that.
You know, the problem is he bought it before 2008 dip.
Mm.
And he's hoping to get around that 2008, you know, pre-2008 money.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it has 50 cents.
Right. Right.
Half dollar. Can't quite afford it.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right. Remember that dumbass, nurse-hating, moron, fart-face state senator from Washington State?
Senator Fartface, yes.
She said that nurses sit around playing cards.
I understand helping with employees and making sure that we have rest breaks and things like that. But I also understand that we need to care for patients first and foremost. And by putting these types of mandates on a critical access hospital that literally serves a handful of individuals, I would submit to you, those nurses probably do get breaks. They probably play cards for a considerable amount of the day. But the reality is this bill does not apply to critical access hospitals. Please support this amendment.
I'm sorry, did you say they sit around and play cards?
Oops. Not good.
Oh, my God. You should have seen the outrage. And that was just in my house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was Jennifer's fascination all week, following this story, reading comments. And, you know, most nurses don't take breaks, don't take lunch.
No.
They'll take a bite here in between patients. It's the complete opposite of what this state senator just said.
It's no card game, no.
So she really lit the world on fire with this comment. Right? Rightfully so. Change.org, there was a petition, 764,000 signatures the last time we checked.
Oh.
And these are people who say she should shadow a real nurse to see what life is like.
Yeah, for a full 12-hour shift.
Yeah. Which, that only gives you, you know, one day. Now, try
small
doing
window.
That every yeah. single day.
Yeah.
Every week, every month, every year, for over a decade or more. So finally, this fart-faced state senator from Washington apologizes, but does she? You know how when you're really sorry that you said something? You could tell that it's heartfelt.
Yes.
You could tell when an apology is real.
Yeah.
Tell me if you think this apology is real.
Would you sit in a nurse's 12-hour shift to experience what they do? They're calling for that. 500,000
well,
people.
And again, I've witnessed nurses' work ethics, and I've seen nurses working on.
I'm not sure if you want to laugh
nope.
and then say work ethics.
Yeah,
work ethics.
Off to a bad start already.
Oh, brother.
Work ethics, and I've seen nurses working on my behalf to make me a healthy individual. I love my nurses.
Clearly not a plastic surgeon.
No.
Go ahead.
I'd be happy to come and work in a hospital with them for a while and shadow them and see their job. I'm pretty well aware of what their job is.
For a while. What does that mean? A full shift?
Right.
Like
a whole hour.
5 minutes.
A whole hour.
Oh, my God. I got to go sit down.
I got a thing I got to do.
I'll come in after my morning coffee and leave before I got to get lunch.
Right. Yeah. Right. That time.
I'm pretty well aware of what their job is. I know how demanding it is. And again,
wait, hold it. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't have said that.
Would have shut up.
So why don't you take your face back inside and pack your suitcase. Bye-bye.
That's, again, someone getting called out going, yes, exactly. My point.
Yeah,
yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
As I mentioned
here. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what they go through.
Yeah.
But wait, didn't you last week say they sit around play cards? Right. Okay.
Maybe her nurses play cards.
And again, meant no disrespect and didn't imply that they play cards. I didn't see a single nurse playing cards when I was in the hospital last year. You know, again, in the heat of a moment, in the exhaustion of the session.
Stop blaming it.
The heat of the moment, the exhaustion.
No, she was speaking from a prepared statement. This wasn't, I went up there and off the cuff.
Right. I was really
she was
tired
speaking
that day.
Out against the bill.
Right.
She was
this was her sales pitch.
She was adding an amendment, and this is what she was. This was her pitch on the amendment.
Right.
Vote for this amendment because they sit around playing cards.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the heat of the moment.
Right. Exhaustion.
Any opportunity to throw this became, out, I'm going to do it.
That's right. And she became Asia.
Well,
the words, Drew, never meant to be so bad to you.
What did you say that story? How many decks of cards has she received?
1,700. It's a lot of cards.
That's a lot of cards.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to picture how big that would be. It's like a couple of pallets, right?
I know, a couple of cases. I have no idea how they pack them. Are they big cards, little cards?
Right.
Yeah.
Those giant magician cards.
Exactly right. Yeah. The kind they use in the game shows. Right. No idea.
That's 88,400 individual cards.
Damn.
Because there's 52 in a deck.
Right. How much does it weigh, though?
Oh.
You know what you got to do? Like, play that 52-card pickup.
Yep.
With 82,000 cards. Like.
Right.
It'd be like one of those boxes you step in with the money flying all
right.
over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the casino blew up.
Yeah, what do you do with a person like this?
Put in a hospital?
Yeah. That would be awesome. Oh, man.
Griffith
She's not going to be able to go to a hospital in that state.
No.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
Brought to you by PurpleDumpster.com, which I'm getting one delivered tomorrow.
Nice.
PurpleDumpster.com. When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to Dumbass News at ChazandAJInTheMorning.com.
Yeah!
Always angry intern.
Uh-oh. What happened now?
He's looking at me like, what'd I do?
Yesterday, Flanders admitted on the air that this week he punched a guy in the face. Today, the East Haven police are coming in.
Oh, Should I leave now?
No, they said stay.
We want to see you get tased.
Right. They said to keep you here.
There's only one exit now, and it's through them.
They have some questions.
They brought these really pretty silver bracelets for you.
Actually, there's a second entrance out of here for $20 to let you know where it is.
Flanders has his own Instagram. It's Flanders...
The intern.
And yesterday was a beautiful day, and I'm scrolling through Instagram, and everyone's like, beautiful day. Look at me. I'm out in the water. Look at the sun. It's spring.
Look at my garden.
I get the Flanders. It's a picture of him outside, and he says, beautiful day today, and I have to friggin' work.
And then hashtag the F word.
Big old F word.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm like, okay, that was a statement.
All right, so let's see how he does with the East Haven police coming up.
Right.
Yeah! What did the hillbilly just say?
No, I'm bad.
She left a voicemail, and we're not quite sure.
New message.
Jeremy Jones, tell you something. I tried to tell your damn I like you, and I swear that we weren't nothing but just friends. That's it.
Hold on.
Oh, well.
Are there subtitles?
Are her teeth backwards again?
I think Flanders punched her in her mouth in road rage.
she's calling on some guy punched her in traffic.
Yeah, she's got a fat lip.
I got Jeremy Jones at the beginning there.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Last words.
Jeremy Jones. Tell you something. I tried to tell your damn I like you, and I swear that we weren't nothing but just friends.
Leggings and nice lady.
Right.
I'm glad you got that.
Right.
I tried to tell.
Right. I
would
try to tell.
Where is
and
she
then
from?
I couldn't tell.
It's almost like if a banjo could speak.
Right.
Tell you something. I tried to tell your damn I like you, and I swear that we weren't nothing but just friends. That's it. And I know we ain't getting back together and all that shit. Honey, I ain't down without that, but you tell that little bitch. I'm personally going to make it.
Hold on.
Wait, she swears her clearly, though. She's very pronunciate.
Yeah, she's good at cursing.
She knows how to say those words properly.
Tell that little bitch.
Clear as glass, man. Clear as glass.
All right.
Honey, I ain't down without that, but you tell that little bitch. I'm personally going to make it my goddamn prerogative to go to your house tonight, and you know me.
Hold on. This would be funny if there was a phone call between her and AJ. Can you play like a clip, and then I'll play a clip?
Okay. Yeah.
Know that honey, I ain't down without that. But
the dryer's going to need the dryer sheets for when he washes his pants afterwards. The diapers for now, it's happened.
Right, we want nothing but just friends that...
Chief Cook of Bobby. That's actually the guy who makes the cook food better.
Yeah. Come bake the brakes off my ass.
It's going to pitch bloody well. Gosh darn it, damn it.
You tell that little bitch.
She makes me sound good.
I effing love these guys. They're always together. They're never apart. Never. This is a 70s cop show.
Let's go.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. It's Murgo and Mulher. Yeah. East Haven Police.
Murgo. Mulher.
There should be a song. Yeah.
Sorry.
From the East Haven Police Department.
What's going on?
Hello.
Murgo and Mulher.
What's going on?
Yeah, nothing. Our intern has anger issues, and he punched someone in the face during a road rage incident.
I hope it didn't happen in East Haven.
Where did it happen?
Hamden.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Far enough away from me.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Sweat on my part of that.
Yeah, we're good.
Like, yeah, that's fine.
For sure.
I know nothing.
So what happened?
Yeah.
This person, a female, cut me off twice, and the second time she did it made me swerve in oncoming traffic. So I just, you know, when you're driving a car, you know, you're playing with people's lives.
So let's act like it happened. They call the police. You pull him over. So don't let him just you guys do your thing. You ask the questions. All right, go ahead.
All right. So how did this whole thing start? You're saying she pulled you. I mean, she cut you off, right?
Yes.
All right. So what were you doing just prior to that?
Just driving normally.
Okay.
doing my thing. I mean,
normally.
Driving normally.
I was driving right. She was not, officer.
Okay. So she cuts you off. Then what'd you do?
I just beat my horn, gave her those, like, the hands up, like, what are you doing? And then her and her passenger flipped me off. And I'm, you know, I let it go. I was like, okay, whatever. You suck at driving. Let it be.
Hi. I'm the attorney for the victim. I believe your statement yesterday was you flipped them off first.
I flipped them off after they flipped me off.
Nah. Yesterday you flipped them off first, so then they flipped you.
The story has changed already.
But go ahead. So you guys look for that, right? When you pull someone over, when the story starts changing, you know you're not dealing with someone who's completely truthful?
Yeah, we usually ask a series of questions, and maybe we'll ask them two or three times just to see if the story stays consistent.
Okay.
And if you got two people in the other vehicle, separate them right off
the
hop.
You separate them all.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So your friend told us this.
Oh, you play those tricks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, your friend said that you're the one who actually cut
them
off.
Oh, yeah, he just threw you under the bus.
Yeah, well, I can't believe it. So,
yeah,
you know,
you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
If you tell me the truth,
I feel like
you
didn't do this. You better get out. You know, you better tell us the truth now, because it's going to be...
Most of the time, they can't even answer the simple questions, like, what's the person's name in your passenger seat?
Right.
And
really? What you stole, that's why.
Yeah, you know, I only know them by their nickname.
I'm too wasted,
man.
Yeah.
Really?
Just picked them up to give them a ride.
How often does that happen? And make a deal, yes.
I only know him as, like, JJ up the street. You know?
Right. I know JJ.
Interesting. All right, so what happened? So you flip... All right, so there's fingers involved.
Yeah. Again, right? Let it go.
Gestures,
so
yes.
We get up to, like, the next light now. It's the I merge into the left lane, which is a left turn only lane going onto the highway, and the girl's, like, right next to me to the right, but then she does it again.
All right, so let's do this. So they cut you off, and then she cuts you off again.
Yes.
Right? And then they pull up to a light, and then what happens?
I put my car in park. I got out of it, and I walked around to the passenger's window, and I punched a dude.
Punched the dude?
Punched the dude.
Yes. I couldn't
co-pilot,
hit the
yes.
Why couldn't you just keep it moving?
Because my answer for that is, to me, if she wasn't taught a lesson, she's going to keep driving like that.
Gotcha.
Someone's going to, like, get into a car accident because she doesn't know how to drive.
And then you would have felt guilt and ridden about it. You know, I know this car could have stopped her one time.
And Flanders mind.
Thank you, AJ.
He was like, a deputy police officer.
Justice.
I was just getting people to drive right,
yes.
Officer.
I'm the Batman.
Until the passenger door opens and then three people get out of the back.
Right. I hate when that happens.
What'd the guy do? What'd the guy do when you punched him?
Nothing.
Oh.
The girl started screaming.
Hold on. You know what we never asked yesterday? How old was the guy? Like 8?
80.
Yes. You little, punched little brother.
Dad. He's like a 13-year-old going to high school.
I mean, Flanders is not a big dude.
College kids.
Everything you set up until you got out of the car and punched the guy in the face, we probably would have just, you know, just let you put everything past you. But you punched the guy in the face, you assaulted him. That's when, as long as he wanted to press charges, we probably would have locked you up and nobody else, to be honest.
So did anything come of this?
No. They just, like I said, when I hit him, the girl was like, oh, my God.
She just okay, what's your cell phone number? Hand the PD a call.
It's like East Haven week on Chaz and AJ in the morning. We had Matt from the East Haven Fire Department. Then we had the chief in yesterday.
Right, right, right.
And now from the East Haven Police Department, Murgo and Mulhern.
Seeing a pattern here.
And they're always together. It was funny.
Yep.
When I heard that someone arrived, and I said, is Mulhern with Murgo? And everyone looked at me like, what do you think?
Seriously.
He's my ride.
That's my backup.
He's my man right there.
Just a high-paid chauffeur, that's all. Yeah.
Exactly, right, right.
I have a feeling if you're in the shower and you're like, hey, honey, can you pass the soap? Oh, hi, Mulhern.
Again? Yeah. Well, while you're here, watch my back.
We shut it down at one point.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, he stays in the station. He's got that part. I got the road for him, so we got each other's back.
There you go, see? That's important.
Wait, now what's this? He stays in the station?
90% of the time, yeah. He's the shift commander. He'll,
he's
driving the boat.
So you get promoted, you get sent behind a desk.
Wow.
For the most part, unless something.
It seems like
major
I feel like I'd want both of you guys out in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what. How do you like said. It? I'm not answering yet.
sometimes we are out in the street together.
Yeah. Well, you're SWAT too, right?
Yeah, negotiator.
Nice.
A negotiator.
He's on it too.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's the support services commander. He's got that sexy title.
Yeah.
This is how they negotiate. They say, you got one weapon, we have like 15 pointing you.
That's a good negotiation tactic.
It is. The law of averages say that we
have
you
seen the
weapons?
Tank we pulled up
exactly.
Outside.
And we have a robot, too.
You might want to come out.
Right. You might kill those people you're with, but you're not going to make it out.
I tell you what,
come out. You're going to go track down your family.
Yeah, come out. We have this really nice pizza for you.
Right. We have our secret weapon, Flanders, too, if that doesn't work.
Yes.
You're right.
It's amazing what a can of dip does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got anger issues, so I don't think he's a great negotiator.
No.
What skill set do you need to be a negotiator?
You just need patience. That's it.
Yeah. Really?
Active listening. Yeah.
Wow.
You just need to talk to somebody and make them like you. You
know? Basically, be an emotional tampon, basically.
See, the good thing with me, though, is it would end quickly.
Yeah.
It might not be the result we want, but it would be over quickly.
Nah, someone's telling me that's not true. I mean, you just got to build a rapport with somebody.
Have you had that situation where you had to talk someone out of something?
Yeah, absolutely.
But like they had a weapon, they were going to harm themselves or others?
Yeah, had a knife to his neck on a front porch.
To his own neck?
Yeah, to his own neck.
That's almost like that Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
Do we say? Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you say in that situation? How did you handle that?
I mean, you basically have to get some background knowledge as to what brought him to that front porch.
What's happening?
Right. Put a knife to his neck, and then you just work backwards. You know, he obviously knows where the police were outside, and we have an agenda, which is to take him into custody safely. And, you know, it's just our responsibility to talk him into doing that without hurting himself or somebody else.
Oh, so, see?
Sometimes it takes an hour, sometimes it takes 6 hours.
Are you nervous that you might say something and then it's like, oh, really?
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because you never know. Something could trigger him. You may bring up something inadvertently in the course of conversation. And is that one thing that's pissing him off. So you got to be super delicate with how you go about communicating with people.
Do they make demands anymore? Like remember, like you know, like the old cop shows. They say they want like this, they want that. Do they do that anymore? Have you ever heard of that anymore?
Yeah. Pizza. So that one call I'm talking about, we negotiated with this guy for 3 or 4 hours on the front porch. He's inside his house. He's outside of his house, and the one thing that got him out was nothing the negotiators did. The one thing that got him out was my buddy had a can of dip on the perimeter. He wanted some chewing tobacco. He tossed it over to him. All of a sudden, he loved the SWAT guys out in front of his house, and he walked out to my buddy Jeff.
Damn.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, was there anybody in the house at the time?
At very first, it was a house full of people.
Oh, and they you got them. Unloaded. You successfully got them all. So yeah. Once he's in there by himself, why don't you just shoot some tear gas or a flashbang?
Right. Or you shoot him in the leg, see if he gets by his neck.
See, I wouldn't pass any of these tests.
No, we would not. No, no.
Yeah, why are we all standing out here? There's no one in there.
Right.
Flash grenade.
Yeah. We'll just go back to your house. Statement. It won't last long. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
We'll put you somewhere else.
Yeah.
Thank you. What's this cow plop thing that you're doing? It's cow plop raffle.
Yeah. So, and again, when I posted this on the EHPD department Facebook, people are like, "Hey, what? So you're just gonna watch a cow
plop?"
Basically,
in the middle of the field,
right?
So basically, it's a fundraiser for our East Haven Police Union. It gives us an opportunity to continue to donate to different scholarships, East Haven Little League. The local chapter of the Vietnam Vets, which
donated
money to the fireworks and everything else.
Very nice.
We're marking out at Crisafi Field on June 1st. We're marking out 2,000 squares in a huge field. And
oh, it's like cow plop bingo.
Wow.
Cow plop bingo. You got to pick the right square. Right. So you buy a square or as many as you want.
So you buy a $10 ticket, and the tickets have random numbers on it. And you are in the running for first place. Is $2,000.
Nice. Damn!
And there's a second place winner, which is going to be $1,000.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And if you buy multiple tickets, you might win first and second.
Possibly.
Right? Because of runs,
no rules against that, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Can you only buy one ticket or you could buy multiple?
No, you could buy as many tickets as you want. Matter of fact, we have books and books and books. We're trying to get rid of 1,000 more tickets, so you can buy as many tickets as you want. An off-duty union member will deliver the tickets to your job site, to your office, to
oh, really?
Your police department.
Nice.
Absolutely.
AJ, your 500 are coming.
So can you give the Cal laxatives to, like, you know, make them go in more?
We would never do that. We've heard stories where they wanted to streamline the process and they did give the cows laxatives.
Nice.
The only problem was the second the cow came off the trailer,
it was too late.
Plopped right there in the parking lot.
Oh, right. So, yeah. I had an aunt like that, yeah.
but so the thing is that in the event that the two cows plop at the same time,
right.
The way the law states is that you have to weigh the two plops.
Oh.
The heaviest plop is the first place.
Is that AJ's rules?
So, yeah, that's a perfect job for AJ.
Is it an actual cow or is it a cop in a cow outfit?
Well, so that's funny you bring that up.
No.
Why?
Between now and June 1st, we actually want to set up shop somewhere. We're looking for a cow costume, and I'll dress up in the cow costume. Dance around the parking lot.
Taking one for the
nice. Nice.
Oh, there's a video that will never leave you.
Let's no, we'll not. Go. No.
Look at him standing up to take one for the team.
Yeah.
He'll be Lieutenant Murgo.
Yeah.
Remember, we did this story. Was it last week or the week before? The guy was on the golf course. He was attacked by a bobcat.
Oh yeah. Him and a horse, I think, also, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't on the golf course playing with the horse.
No.
The horse was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right, so he was attacked, and then a horse was attacked.
Yeah.
And then did they kill the bobcat?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so NBC Connecticut sat down with him, and here is that interview.
Could have been worse. I don't know how much worse, but, you know.
Let's see. It could be worse that you're in a hospital with a bunch of holes in you.
Right.
Could be worse where you drink a glass of water and you look like a yard sprinkler.
Right. Or there's a very, very full bobcat.
Right. There's a golfing shoe, a glove, and no one can find you.
And a bobcat with a toothpick. Going, damn, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
They were showing clips of this guy and like the, injuries that he suffered. They'll go through them a little bit in detail, but they showed the horse as well, and there's just this huge chunk missing from the horse's head, like right above its eye.
Oh. That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, I bet.
Damn. I mean, I know the bobcat's just being a bobcat, but
But I'm grateful to be healing up.
He's able to laugh about it now. The boy, he got up close and personal with a bobcat, and now he's sharing
now,
that terrifying...
Now, why did she fade herself into the report? Why didn't she just...
I think they wanted to open with him speaking. I feel like they...
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bobcat talking.
It's almost like she's walking into the room while he's talking.
Right.
So this is the anchor. So they were pitching from one package to the anchor. Now they're going to go to the reporter that actually interviewed. So I think somebody forgot to get the slider.
Gotcha, right.
That happens. Okay, I got it.
And now he's sharing that terrifying experience. He was playing a round of golf when that rabid animal attacked him. NBC Connecticut's Heather Burian is live in New London with his story. Heather.
Where she flew.
No, that was the bobcat.
She's Iron Man.
Well, not funny, but she's standing there with the microphone. Yeah, Heather. See a microphone fly up and
yeah. Damn it, just two.
Keisha, Mike Popkowski tells me he's been going to that golf course in Baltic for around 30 years. He and his friends teed off long around game. 7 a.m. as per usual. But what happened on the seventh hole was anything but usual when a bobcat showed up.
The seventh hole.
Yeah.
The lucky hole.
How many does he have in his body?
Right. Seven holes.
And we do want to warn you, some of the images are a little graphic.
Can't see them.
Doesn't that make you want to watch more?
Yes, it does.
Like me, every time.
If I'm walking around the kitchen and I'm doing stuff and yep. I have it in the background, I hear, I just want to warn you this month. Oh, I'm putting everything down.
Everyone shut up. I got to grab a snack. Hang on.
I'm watching this.
I'm going to get some pizza.
Thank God we can pause TV now.
Yeah.
Hang on. Right. I'll be right back.
That'd be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
You can go back.
Right.
Exactly.
I heard him say, watch out. And I looked up. And as I looked up, this thing had left the ground and was coming for me.
Not a typical
left
day on
the ground.
Wow, the flying bobcat. Nice.
So who said, look out? His partner?
One of his golf buddies. Yeah.
Plus you have four, aren't you? Four! Four paws!
Four paws!
Bobcat!
Huh. I'd be interested to know what the golfing buddy did once this happened.
Well, like, actually, the guy had to yell.
Do they explain it?
Yes.
Does he save him?
You'll hear.
All right, well, I want to know. Yeah. I'm one of those people. Yeah. I need to know everything.
Tell us right now.
So this guy got attacked for 2 to 3 minutes. They tumbled down an embankment. So
where was his buddy?
So I guess they're all, you know, looking for their ball. Or they're on the green or whatever. He gets hit by the bobcat. He's trying to fight
the
bobcat off.
But the guy says to him, look out. Before he's even...
They played through?
So normally, if someone's putting, like, you're standing away from him. Like, you're not going to stand right behind the guy. Yeah. So he must have been standing off to the green, I don't know, maybe by his ball. He didn't explain that part. But he must have been, his buddy must have been facing this guy who got attacked and saw what was coming from behind him.
Right. Yeah. So the guy didn't yell, look out. He went, look out.
Yeah, but
there's a bobcat coming.
Yeah, and then it was,
there's a bobcat coming. Okay, he's now attacking me.
Oh, dear. He is not going to like this.
We're going to need some help over here.
He is not going to be able to wear those pants.
He looks like, this is not Tiger, it's a bobcat.
He does mention the golf course he was wearing. Too.
Usually it's a Tiger you see in the leagues, but Tiger's doing really well this time, but not Tiger. But this is a bobcat.
All right, back to the report.
Not a typical day on the green for Mike Popkowski. The New London golfer was at the Mohegan Sun Golf Club in Baltic with his friends when a bobcat attacked him on the seventh hole.
But I was able to turn my back and it landed on my back. And, it was scratching and biting. And we tumbled down this quite a steep embankment.
Popkowski's friends told him the wild animal was on him for 2 or 3 minutes.
Where the hell were they for 2 or 3 minutes?
They were still talking.
Here, I'm going to show you what 10 seconds feels like. Ready? Go.
Ah!
Hold on. That's 10 seconds.
Right. So 10 seconds
so
of screaming.
My buddy gets attacked by a bobcat. I already got a golf club over that bobcat's head 3 times in 10 seconds.
Look at you.
2 minutes?
Right.
2 or 3 minutes?
Right.
What are they standing there like? What do we do now?
I do something when I'm wearing these khaki
pants. Hold on.
Pants.
I got to take this shot because right. I'm in the zone.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Oh, nice shot. Yeah, my elbow bent a little bit, but yeah, we got it. All right, good. All right, now you.
He's still being attacked.
Do you think he'll remember the 20 bucks I owe him?
Oh, nice shot. Yeah. Right. We'll be right over there.
I'd help, but I'm wearing slacks.
He hasn't figured out what to do with it. All right, we got to go down and help.
Right,
now.
Yeah. All right, we'll meet you next hole.
Oh, this group behind us wants to play through. I don't know. What do you want to let them?
Right.
Yeah. That's only 40 seconds. All of that. Yeah.
Wasn't really 2 or 3 minutes.
I'm not familiar with the course. They didn't show exact where he... I don't know how steep this embankment was. No. I don't know if he was at a point where they couldn't get to him.
It was the sand trap.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I just bought these shoes. I'm not going down there.
Exactly. Right. Right.
We're having lunch afterwards. I got a grass stain on this. Right. It's never coming out.
We're having lunch afterwards. I'm not going to go to a club with grass stains.
I'm not supposed to be playing golf right now. I'm supposed to be at work. Yeah, I can't get involved in this.
I told my boss I was sick.
I just remembered I parked somewhere. I'm not supposed to be there. I got to move that car.
And the marsh cat was so hungry, he needed a horse.
Yeah.
Marshall's been on us for pace of play. Like, come on, man. We got to wrap this up.
I'll meet you at the 10th. I'll meet you at the 10th.
It's very interesting because you have to make a decision. You know, your friend is, who expects this? You don't prepare for this.
It sounded like a group of retired guys. So he's 70, this guy that got attacked in his 70s. So I don't know.
So were they doing the math? Well, look, he probably only has 14 years. Like, do I go down there and risk my life? Like, I'm just at the good part of my life where I could play golf in the middle of the day.
Yep.
How well do I really know him?
I just had the grips changed in my clubs.
Yeah. You know? All right. We've been friends for a while, but we basically only play golf together.
Like, he led a good life.
We're not together on Christmas.
He led
all
a good life.
All I was going to say was this embankment might have been enough of a hurdle they couldn't get to him immediately. That's all I'm saying.
What are they playing on a friggin' mountainside? Come on.
I don't know what it looks like, AJ.
Well,
it only took him a few seconds to roll down there.
Right. So roll down, get in the cart, and go over there.
Maybe they were chipping balls at the Bobcat to see if they could get it to that.
Don't open the new box, though. Don't open the new box.
No, use the practice balls.
Right. Use the orange ones.
All right.
3 minutes. One friend took his golf club and tried to knock the Bobcat away. Popkowski says he was angry and put up a fight, too.
After 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
That's most rounds, actually.
Let me find the club I like the least.
Right.
I never use this iron.
Right.
Okay. Let's go.
I've never...
Right, so he goes down, he hits the Bobcat, Bobcat doesn't run away.
So they're fighting with each other now, like this Bobcat's on him. They said at the beginning
of the report.
But
it's on the original person?
It's on this one guy.
And then the other guy goes down, hits it with
the club. Tries to hit, knock it off of him with the club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this guy that got attacked was the only guy that got attacked that I'm aware of, at least from this report. But they did say that the Bobcat was rabid, so sometimes no matter what you're stabbing it, like it doesn't matter, they're just going to keep attacking.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't know retreat.
No,
right. It's out in the day.
That's
it's a hunting humans.
Right.
It's bananas.
The odd part.
So it's not going to go away.
The odd thing is, there's a horse playing golf. Also,
that was the weird part of this whole story.
I'm so going to eat a horse.
Right.
I've never seen a bobcat up there. Nor would you expect to go out to play around the golf at 70 years old. You're going to get attacked by a wild animal.
Officials believe that same bobcat attacked
this
a horse
guy,
at 72. You expect
if his friends talk and think at this pace, that's why it took 3 minutes to get down there.
Yep.
Wow, who would have thought we'd see a bobcat out here? I never saw a bobcat.
I saw a couple of Canadian geese one time, but there was that guy Phil running after them.
Sure, it's a bobcat. Go check the book I got in the bag.
Maybe
over
it's
there.
A big kitty cat.
Here, hold on. Let me Google what to do.
Maybe it's a kitty cat. You know, they have those short-tailed cats nowadays.
Why you mentioned geese, quick side note, it is geese season, and I've been getting videos. People have been sending me stuff.
Good to know. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yep. You need a bobcat, Phil.
I know. Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Same bobcat attacked a horse in Baltic a little earlier that morning. The bobcat was later euthanized and tested positive for rabies.
Oh.
Popkowski was taken to Bacchus Hospital. He has bite marks and scratches on his left shoulder.
Okay, hold on a second. And while we play the rest of this report, you can call in and tell us what it's like to get rabies.
Ugh.
Like when you're bit by something with rabies, it's an ordeal. You don't just go get a shot and you're done.
Right.
All right, 1-877-764-2535.
His right ear was stitched. His right side is in pain from rolling down an embankment, battling the animal. He's bruised up. The bobcat got to Popkowski's scalp, too.
Now, are they showing images of him?
Oh, that's the graphic part.
Like the...
So he had stitches in his ear. I don't know if it was completely severed, but it definitely looked like it got him like right across the ear.
Like a Tyson?
Sort of. Not at the top, but like right in the middle of his ear. So I can't tell if that was torn or not, but it was enough that it needed stitches.
Did they show before and after pictures?
No. They just showed
just
that,
after.
Yeah,
right.
whenever they arrived for this interview, whatever... Yeah, they gave.
Right.
So, like, I mean, the scratch marks on his shoulder and his arm were real bad. The bruises that were there, like the power behind these swings and, you know, claw attacks were so vicious.
Did they show, like, a mugshot of the bobcat?
No.
numbers.
Well, no, they killed it.
Right.
So it would be like it's dead with its tongue out and the eyes are X's.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The bobcat got to Popkowski's scalp, too. He has 11 staples in his head.
It's a crunch, crunch, crunch.
11 staples?
Staples. That was easy. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, that's why the guy's talking so. He's got some drugs going there.
Yeah, good stuff, too.
The one thing that I did notice is all of the injuries seem to be to, like, his arms, his shoulders, his back, and his head. So there's nothing to his face or his neck, really, aside from his ears. So he was able to keep this thing away from his face.
He's lucky.
And the front of his body. So, I mean, he definitely put up a good
fight. Well, that's what they do. They grab your neck and then they strangle you out so you stop fighting, and then they drag you off somewhere safe where they can eat you.
Yeah, like Marriage Ship.
So, I mean, this was an intense battle.
Despite all of this, Popkowski is ready to get back on the green.
Might not play the seventh hole, but we'll play. But I'm not going to quit golf because of this. This is a freaky thing.
Seventh hole, that's a lucky seven.
Yeah, yep. Right.
Well, it was for him.
Yeah.
If they ever do a, you know, like a charity one, he's got to sponsor that hole now.
That's right.
Yep.
He's got to.
Right to my Bobcat.
Jeez.
Is he married? Do they say if he has a spouse?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't think they said.
Yeah, because you come home with like chew marks on your shoulder. She's pissed. Oh, sure. Bobcat in the golf course. It was some floozy, wasn't it?
Right.
You sick bastard.
Right. That's where the hell did you find that stripper?
Right.
Popkowski says he is getting rabies shot. He also says one of his good golf jackets was torn up. He and his friends do have a tee time for Friday morning. If it gets rained out, he says they'll have lunch and he hopes to be back on the course by Monday. And he says, who knows? Skipping the seventh hole might actually improve his score. Live in New London, Heather Burian, NBC Connecticut News.
Mm, funny.
All's one in one. Yep. Yep. That was a good one.
Well, he is a scratch golfer now. He's got them all over him.
Hey!
Yes, exactly right.
NFL draft starts tonight on the air now. NFL agent Joe Linta to give us a preview. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Morning.
What are you expecting?
Lots of intrigue and excitement right in the beginning. This whole thing with Arizona and Kyler Murray is pretty interesting because they just moved up to pick a guy last year at number 10, so now they're talking about taking another quarterback, so it's pretty interesting.
Anybody watching what the Jets will do, or no one cares?
Well, a lot of people care in the 212 area code, but I think they are going defense all the way. They'll pick either one of these defensive linemen. This is one of the best drafts in the last 10, 15 years for defensive linemen. They'll pick the guy from Alabama or the guy from Kentucky, I think.
Giants, what are you looking for them to do?
They have two picks in the first round, pick number 6, pick number 17. One of the two of them will be a quarterback. This is where the game comes into play. It's like they have locked into probably one of these two guys, probably the guy from Duke, because there's a connection with the Duke coach and Mannings and whatnot. So I think they targeted him. Or maybe the other guy, Haskins, from Ohio State. So the question is, you know, if you pick him at 6, you know, can you wait till pick 17? Are they going to be gone? That type of thing. And then they obviously need other positions, offensive line, defensive line. So you'll see probably a quality defensive player and a quarterback for those two picks.
What's going on with your phone now? What are people calling and asking you? And what's kind of like the behind the scenes? Are NFL teams trying to trade stuff? Is there jockeying now?
Not so much with the guys that are going to get drafted. Like, we have one guy that's probably going to get drafted tonight in the first round, and really those are just calls from GMs, personnel guys, like, hey, is he healthy? Everything good with him? But more, my phone rings more about the guys at the end of the draft and, you know, hey, we really want so-and-so if he's not drafted. Jimmy's on our board. We like him. We want to draft him. If not, we really want to get him. So they start recruiting you, meaning me, to get me to sign those kids after the draft.
Work the magic.
What are the types of things you ask the team about or for?
Well, if I get a low-level scout calling me, I'll say, did the position coach, like we have a defensive tackle who's probably going to have 15 teams call him after the draft if he's not drafted. So I'll say, did the D-line coach look at him on film? Because the scout's opinion don't matter once the kid gets to minicamp.
Interesting.
And through the summer. So, you know, I just want to know if it's a good opportunity for the kid. And the money you get after the draft is not significant. It might be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, but the kid ain't going to retire off of that money.
No.
Yeah, so you're looking to get them playing time.
Well, opportunity, yeah. But, I mean, right. You know, if you're not drafted, you know, you obviously hope you can make the active roster, but you want to at least be on practice squad so you're not living in your parents' spare bedroom in the
right.
fall.
Yeah, keep your day job.
Who are some of your hotter clients? You said you have one that's going to go in the first round. Who was
that? Yeah, a kid named Darnell Savage at Maryland. He's getting a lot of play right now. We think he will go tonight, but if not, he'll go first couple of picks tomorrow. And then we have a tight end from LSU named Foster Moreau, who's probably in the top 5 in tight ends. Probably the number 1 or 2 kicker in the country from LSU also. His name's Cole Tracy. And safety from Kentucky named Darius West. You know, we don't have, like, the big-name quarterback or the guys that, you know, the guy that's sort of just following the draft would know. But a lot of guys will get drafted. We're expecting five or six of them to get drafted.
Now, one of your bigger name clients, Joe Flacco, at the Broncos, doing well. Are the Broncos building a team around him now?
There's a lot of intrigue out there about that. Are they going to pick a quarterback to succeed him at some point, or are they just going to try to win now and pick, you know, a tight end? And I know, obviously, what Joe wants them to do. So I think, yeah, they're trying to – you'll know when they have pick 10. If Denver picks somebody not a quarterback, then they're trying to build a team to win now. If they pick a quarterback, then Joe becomes in the same situation as he was last year. And it's really kind of funny to see in the press how, you know, they need a quarterback, they need a quarterback, yet Joe was having one of his best seasons statistically before he got hurt this year.
Right. Patriots, what do you think they'll do?
Very intriguing there. They have 12 picks in the draft. I think Belichick will trade some of them to try to package some of them to move up in some spots. They probably don't have enough juice to move up too much in the first round, but I think they're looking at probably tight end. They need wide receivers. So I would expect that they'd probably go wide receiver, tight end in the first round, and then they'll probably move up at some point in the second day and third day, package some of their later picks to move up, you know, spots. And probably tomorrow night to move up higher to pick somebody that they're identifying.
There's another Linta involved in the NFL draft.
Yeah, pretty weird to be representing your own kid. And
well, shouldn't you?
No, but that's funny. Your son's in the, you know, going into the NFL. You're right. An agent. Well, he can't sign with someone else.
You can say he's a good boy for one thing. He's very, very good boy.
He got interviewed by Associated Press last week, and he said after a long and arduous process, he settled on JL Sports.
He has his dad's sense of humor.
Yep.
But there was a funny story with that when he actually, you know, because he had to sign a contract like anybody else, and we didn't give him a discount. It was 3%. He's like, what's this? I'm like, you're not getting a discount.
Nice. Keep it in us, man. Keep it in us.
So he's paying the same percentage as everybody else is.
That's right.
No favoritism.
Who's going to do your laundry when you come home?
Exactly.
It should be 4%.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's so great.
It's been pretty exciting. He's had some good work. Mike Vrabel came in to work him out last week or so, and a couple of quarterback coaches came in. So it's exciting. I don't think he's going to get drafted, but I do think, fingers crossed, that he'll get signed Saturday after the draft.
Oh, he'll get signed.
Yep.
He's too good. All right, Joe, we'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, I'll call in. I appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you,
brother. Joe Linta.
Thanks so much. See ya.
Yep. NFL super agent. Yeah, I mean, his boy gets full service representation.
Of course.
Yeah, we cook, we clean, we do everything for you.
Exactly, the whole damn thing.
Maybe if he decided on that earlier, maybe that percentage would have come down a little bit.
That's right. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God, on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Morning.
How are you? There's a news story that Paul Simon and Edie Brickell put their new Canaan home on the market for $13.9 million. Have you been over to that place?
I have. I know his neighbor, and I've looked over the wall to see his house.
There he is.
I've never been to his house, but I saw it online. I looked at the house, and it's 32 acres in New Canaan, Connecticut. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I think the price is more about the land than the house. Nice
house.
The house
is pretty darn beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms. It was good, but you're right. The land of 32 acres is remarkable in New Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. Great lawn, for God's sake.
Right.
You could do a concert there.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's why Jimmy was looking over the wall saying, how many people can I get on this
lawn?
The
New Canaan location.
He wouldn't even have to go anywhere. He could just step out his backyard and do it.
Right. Exactly. Acoustic.
It's like a mini Central Park.
It works.
Yeah. How about Tommy Mottola's house? Have you been over there?
Well, the irony is, yes, I've been over to Tommy's house. I grew up near Tommy. He grew up in Mount Vernon, New York. I grew up in New Rochelle, New York. And his first wife went to school with me, grade school with me, and I've known her. So Tommy, Lisa, my wife, and I used to socialize together. And then when he moved to Connecticut, I saw Tommy in Greenwich. He's had a house in Greenwich. And ironically, my daughter's mother-in-law bought the house.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yes. So
holy crap.
So I have a lot of connection with Tommy, and I don't see him anymore, but we used to be very friendly.
Well, you know who he is, AJ, right?
Yeah, he married Mariah Carey.
Yeah, but he was a big-time music mogul for Sony.
Yep.
Yeah.
Record dude. He was the head of Sony during the heyday of records and CDs.
Yeah.
So I get Mariah.
Have you... You've presented Paul Simon a number of times in Connecticut, right?
Yes, quite a number of times. Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon and Brian Wilson... A whole bunch of times, Paul Simon.
Is he cool?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Nice enough.
Jimmy's leaving it open in case Paul comes out of retirement.
Does he sing everything he says?
Nice enough.
Yeah, some artists are very particular and annoyed when they're not on stage. Right.
You know, I don't know him that well, and he might be a very warm person. When I met him a few times, it was fairly cold, but not that he did anything wrong or anything, but it wasn't nice to meet you. I know you're paying me $500,000 tonight. Nice to meet you or anything like that.
I would give you a bear hug, man.
Is that the most you've paid Paul Simon in a night, $500,000?
Well, I paid Simon and Garfunkel more.
Right.
Really?
Yes. Huh.
And do you know if they split that evenly?
They split it 55-45. All getting 55.
That seems to make sense.
Yeah.
And so that was over $500,000 each.
Yes.
That's not bad at all. That's good coin, man.
Damn.
Yep.
So we were going over the numbers with that house, and the taxes alone are $200,000 a year.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Wow. So, wow, he plays two concerts. And he's good for, like, 5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 8 hours work for him.
Well, I went to see him play his next to last concert at Madison Square Garden. His last concert was actually out in Queens, where he grew up. And I thought it was just great. One of my favorite artists of all time. Same with Simon and Garfunkel, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yeah, great songwriter and awesome songs. Now, your house, is your house in that kind of neighborhood? Like,
I'm in North Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay. It's
a nice house.
Yeah, I'm guessing
it's a nice house. I like it.
I don't want to ask too much about it. It's personal information.
Yeah. No, of course not. Yeah. I just want to volunteer it.
let me ask it this way. How long does it take for your landscaper to mow your lawn? Or do you do it yourself?
I've got almost 3 acres.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
But he charged me like I got 6 acres.
Yes.
See, that's the thing we were talking about this. When you pull up on Paul Simon's house, if you're an electrician, you're not charging your regular rate.
No, you're
charging the Paul Simon
boutique
rate.
Boutique pricing.
Yeah, so Jimmy gets the Jimmy Coplick rate.
Right.
Well, that's fine, because when Paul Simon's in concert, I charge the Paul Simon ticket price. So they should charge Paul Simon a different rate.
Right. Exactly. So what about other celebrity houses that you've been to in Connecticut that...
I've been to Roger Glover's house, who lived in Greenwich. Meatloaf when he lived in Reading. Edgar Winter's house when he lived in Stamford.
Oh, wow. Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton's house a ton of times in Westport.
That's got to be a sick house, right?
Oh, it's great. He's got a studio on his property. It's just great.
I'd expect that, actually.
Right.
Yep.
You mentioned Meatloaf. Somebody asked about Meatloaf. Any chance of Meatloaf coming around?
I haven't been told of him touring at all.
Oh.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, he once said it was his last tour was his last tour, but he never really made it a definite. So I guess he still could come out and tour if he wants. He always goes to Mohegan Sun. I'm sure we'd bring him back if he tours.
Yeah.
I saw him at Mohegan Sun, and I don't know how I missed it. I mean, his voice on all of his songs, amazing. But when you're in concert, it's like seeing... some kind of a opera star. His voice is amazing.
I think he's operatically trained.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yes. And he did put out one of the greatest albums of all time. Not in my opinion. Never was a Meatloaf fan. Never understood why his music was so popular. But Bat Out of Hell was clearly one of the great albums of all time.
Were you booking him before that album? And then...
Yes.
Okay, so he went from like a Toad's Place to a New Haven Coliseum? That's correct.
Exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He did the major jump because he was playing places like Toad's, and then Bat Out of Hell comes out, and all of a sudden, he's an arena act. He skipped the theater size.
Right. Talked to Jimmy and Q. I said, I'm sorry, we're running late. He said, NFL draft stuff, right?
Yep.
I said, yeah. And then I didn't know Jimmy's a Jets fan.
Oh.
It's painful to admit sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm a Jets fan. I went to the, went to this 1969 Super Bowl in Miami.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And my dad worked for the Jets. So I sat on the 50-yard line walking out of the Orange Bowl that day. I never thought that I'd be turning 70 years old and never see them in another Super Bowl, which is pretty damn amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah, it is amazing. I flew home with the Jets, which was a lot of fun.
Nice.
On the Super Bowl. About half the team flew home.
The Jets.
Did you think when they put Johnny Unitas in that, uh-oh, here we go.
Yes.
We're going to lose this. Yeah.
Yes. I definitely did. Earl Morrow was the first-string quarterback. They finally figured, let's put Unitas in. Maybe he can catch the Colts on fire. And I said, oh, my God. At that time, he was considered the greatest quarterback of all time. I said, oh, this is trouble.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. The Jets were destined to win.
And you have something from Joe Namath.
Yes, I have a signed white shoe from Joe Namath that I got signed that season. It wasn't at the Super Bowl. I got it signed earlier in the season. And when they celebrated the 25th anniversary, they flew my dad up from Hilton Head. So I brought my shoe to my dad, and I said, it's starting to fade. It was 1994. I said, it's starting to fade. Can you do me a favor and get him to re-sign it? He started to complain to my dad, oh, your son's going to sell it. I don't want to re-sign it and have him sell it. And my dad begged. He signed it, and I'll never sell it. I still have it.
Nice.
Wow, that's definitely game-worn. I just got a picture of it. We'll post it on our Instagram. Wowie. How big? What size is it?
You know, that's a good question. It's worn out inside, so it's hard to tell.
Size 6.5.
He's very petite foot.
It's big, though.
Yeah.
He's got a big foot. It looks to me like it's at least an 11.
Damn.
Wow.
Do you have other rock memorabilia that you think would go into the Rock Hall of Fame, should you ever give it up?
I have a great... it's not a picture. I guess it's some sort of sketch of Eric Clapton by Ron Wood, signed by Ronnie Wood. And I brought it to Eric, and I said, would you sign it also? And he said, sure, I'll sign it. And now there are only two signed in the world by both of us, yours and mine.
Wow.
Damn.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I have a lot of stuff, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame asked me to donate stuff, and I said, do I get it back? And they said, no. So I said no.
Right. Hey, really? Yeah. See, yes would have been a good idea.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame working on a $30 million expansion. Being a voting member, are you involved in that at all?
I'm not involved in it. In fact, I've never even been there.
Whoops.
Really?
Nice place.
It's neat. AJ and I have been there twice.
Yep.
I'm going in the fall. I've talked to them already, and they've been really nice to me. They're going to give me a private showing, go down to their vault and see what's in their vault.
Oh, cool. You get the vault.
Like shopping.
Oh, yeah, I get the vault. I'll bring some big pockets with me.
I was going to say, bring a shopping bag. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in there. It's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's almost like so much stuff you need to go in a couple of days to absorb it all because it's a lot.
Yep.
And the thing that struck me the most was not the Bruce Springsteen giant American flag that played behind him ZZ Top car that we saw in all the videos.
A Janice's car.
But it was a small piece of metal from a plane.
Oh.
And it was Otis Redding's plane
from
the crash.
Yep.
And I just stood in front of that thing for so long, I couldn't move away from it. It was so weird.
I remember you doing that, yep.
Yeah. But yeah, you'll enjoy that trip. We have a lot of calls for you. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And Steven Madison makes number 5 now in a row asking about Bob Seger. You want to give this answer, then we'll take a break?
Yeah, sure. Tell him to hang on. I'm hoping to get him in by the end of the year. Not sure what's going to happen, but he will be touring at the end of the year. But right now, we're not holding any dates.
And the fact that everybody's calling about this every single time you're on, and I'm sure you're getting asked about it, tells you that it will sell out immediately?
Yes.
And then maybe another date? You're going to work on one first and then see if you can get two? Or how does that work?
If you play Vegan Sun, I'm going to try to get two.
Cool.
A $20 ticket.
It's back.
Really?
$20, and that includes the Ticketmaster fee, so... it is quite a steal, I must say.
It's really $20.
$20, including the Ticketmaster fee. We start, I think it's May 1 we start, something like that, so it's next week sometime. And a bunch of shows at Xfinity and a bunch of shows at Oakdale will be included.
How many tickets? How fast does that go? So, limited number?
It's always a limited number, but, you know, the big shows go pretty fast because there's a limited number there. But most of the shows last most of the week that we do it. We do it for a full week.
Okay.
So there's no, unless it's a big show, you can certainly get it the second, third, fourth day. And if we see that it's working better than we thought. We sometimes add tickets to it.
Wait, so it's all shows at Xfinity and Oakdale?
Almost all shows.
Almost.
Some artists don't participate.
Gotcha. You're heading to Bridgeport today?
I am heading to Bridgeport. I'll be there at 10:30. Going to see how we're doing there. Take a look and see how the building's coming along, because the roof starts getting put in September, so we have to get a lot of it built before the roof gets put on.
And then first show will be spring of 2020?
Yes.
Awesome.
And any thoughts on who that will be, or it's too early to start looking at that?
Right now it's too early, but I've openly said I would like to have John Mayer do it. You know, when I opened up Xfinity back in 95, Michael Bolton was the grand opening, local Connecticut boy, and I feel the same way about Bridgeport. He's really local. He's from Bridgeport.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe in Berlin wanted to ask you about a Chicago cover band. It's called Leonid and Friends.
Oh, Lennon Friends. Who? They're Russian. They're Russian guys.
Oh.
They're great.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I'm a giant Chicago fan, but I've never heard of them.
Oh, these guys are amazing. Go on YouTube, and you'll be blown away.
Really?
Yep.
He was saying the same thing. He says they do Chicago better than Chicago.
It's true. It's true.
Well, Chicago's barely Chicago anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
There are only three of them left, but... What's the name of the band?
Leonid and Friends.
Leonid and Friends.
L-E-O-N-I-D and Friends.
Oh, Leonid and Friends.
Leonid,
okay,
like,
I'll go on YouTube for sure.
This sounds like a fun Toyota
Put in
25
or 64.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Rick in West Haven, Jimmy mentioned in a book about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, wants to ask about the lawsuit.
Oh, yes. The Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young book just came out, and they mentioned my lawsuit that I had against Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I had a show planned for them in California, and 3 weeks before the show, Neil Young flew over to London to be with his either wife or girlfriend, Carrie Snodgrass. She was an actress. And he decided he didn't want to come back.
Oh.
So the manager calls me and says, well, you're going to get three of the four, and we're going to cut the price 25%. I said, wait a second. Neil Young is more than 25% when it comes to ticket sales. There's a big difference between CSNY and CSN. So I canceled the show. I sued them. And I got paid what I sued them for, which was fair. But David Crosby's hated me ever since.
Oh, well, we can do.
And this was before you had a fight with him backstage or after?
Yeah, it was after that. It was over this. It was over this show. He hated that I sued him. He thinks I should have taken Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He got insulted that I thought Neil Young was so important to the show, which I was right.
No question.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash played theaters. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young plays arenas and stadiums.
Right.
So, but it didn't matter whether I was right or wrong. He just charged at me, and thankfully Graham Nash got in between us. He's going to try to kick my ass. At Symphony Hall in Springfield it happened.
Graham Nash will always have a place for concerts here in Connecticut.
Yep.
A royal affair. Someone's asking about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting project. We're not getting involved in it. It's some members of Yes, some members of it's Carl Palmer, not some members, the only one living. And they're going out and they're going to do some music of their band, and we're still working on the real thing. So the real Yes and stuff like that. So we're not going to do it this time around.
All right. Jimmy, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Take it easy.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.